Ecclesiastes, and Ecclesiastes chapter 9. It's good to be here this evening. Last couple of weeks, in particular, when Brother Gary's been preaching, he's been going through some of the cast of the book of Proverbs, and he's been defining some of those different personalities, different characters in right through the book of Proverbs, and we're going to look at wisdom tonight. It seems like there's just been a little bit of that theming going around as far as what we've been going on Wednesday nights, and so I'll pick it up here in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and look at verses 13 right down to verse 18 with me. And the Bible reads, "This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city, and few men within it, and there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good." And it's interesting that as we look at the book of Ecclesiastes, and by the way, if there was one book that I would recommend as far as one of the books of the Bible to our young people to read, it would be the book of Ecclesiastes. And I've probably said this before, but I'll say it again tonight. You know, there's sometimes in youth, there's a sense of all of the what's ahead, but what Ecclesiastes does, it just grounds you to reality. It talks about how everything under the sun is vanity. And you know, sometimes we have this idea about life, like everything's just going to work out. And yet there's a call here in the book of Ecclesiastes to just be grounded in the reality of life. And if you've ever read it, you understand that it's quite dour in a sense. If you've ever read it, you understand that really Solomon, who's the writer of this book, just has had his lot in life. He's experienced some things now. It's really a contrast to some of the outlook that he had in the book of Proverbs, and there's some lessons learnt now, and it's just sobered Solomon up a little bit. And we understand that as we read through this particular part of the scriptures here that we read, that actually Solomon is identifying something that was great to him. And you know, if there was anyone that was a good judge of what wisdom looks like, don't you think it'd be Solomon? You know, don't you think it'd be Solomon, the one that, you know, very early on in his leadership, as he was given the nation to lead, he sought God not for riches and not for those additional things that perhaps us ourselves would have asked for. God gave him a blank check, really. And all Solomon asked for was some understanding. He wanted the kind of understanding because he understood the great responsibility that he now had to lead the people of God. And so God gives him that. He gives him great wisdom, supernatural wisdom, and then he gives him the rest as well. But he was you would no doubt, if there was an authority on wisdom, it would have to be Solomon. You know, it's like someone who has a great deal of experience in an area. Maybe they're a captain of an industry, or they're considered in a sporting sense the GOAT, the greatest of all time. Right? If you were to ask me about basketball, and you know, I coach a little bit, if you were to ask me, my opinion on a certain player or a certain aspect of something would go so far, right? Based on my experience, based on what I know about the game. But if you were asking, let's say, Michael Jordan, right, who in my opinion is the GOAT, right? Not none of this LeBron stuff, all right? But so you have him, and if you were to ask Michael Jordan, who's in many circles of expertise would agree that he's the greatest player of all time, his opinion would hold a lot more than my opinion, correct? right? There'd be something that he could say because he's played at the highest level and has succeeded at the highest level. And that's what I'm saying about Solomon. Solomon is known for his wisdom, and yet he observes something that he says is great wisdom. So not only is he identifying that there's some wisdom here, the Bible says here that he sees this wisdom that he sees under the sun. And the Bible says here in verse 13, and it seemed great unto me. And, you know, I don't know about you, but if someone who was an expert and one of the leading authorities on something says that something is great, don't you think it's something we should pay attention to? And here, Solomon's trying to, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, we understand that, it is being pointed to a situation that he sees as great wisdom. And we now get a glimpse through the recorded word of God a little bit about Solomon's observation about wisdom. Now, he wrote a lot about wisdom. If you've come along to some of our Wednesdays one of the Sunday nights, we've been talking a lot about wisdom. We've been talking a lot about that. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs 4:7, you know, part of my Bible reading this morning, the Bible tells us wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. And we understand that wisdom is something to be desired. It should be something that, you know, as people, and especially as God's people, God makes it available to us. And he's saying, get wisdom. You know, if I could exhort you tonight as you go through the week, don't pass up an opportunity to get in the Word of God to just get more wisdom. He says, wisdom is the principal thing. He says it's an important thing. And he says in Proverbs 8:11, for wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. You know, you think about some of the most desirable things in your life as far as just financial gain. You know, he's not talking about rubies here. He's talking about the real deal, valuable stuff, rubies. And he's saying wisdom is more to be desired than rubies. It's more to be desired than those things that you know, you desire as something great. You ought to desire wisdom. And aren't you glad tonight that God says that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. And actually the promise is this, he will give it to you. You know, we have in our Savior the very person of wisdom. And we have tonight, as we open the Word of God, just examples right through the Scriptures of what wisdom looks like. And yet so many times, don't we agree tonight as we observe maybe our own life and even the lives of those that, you know, are around, that sometimes the thing that is actually most lacking is the thing that's most available to us, wisdom. You know, I wonder if we live our lives with wisdom. And there's an exhortation in the Word of God, an encouragement to get wisdom. And we understand that wisdom comes from the fear of the Lord. You know, that understanding who God is and who we are in the sight of God, that's what the fear of the Lord is. And that's how we derive and that's how we get wisdom. You know, someone defined wisdom as the essential skill of discerning and applying the right path in the many life situations not directly covered by moral rules or knowledge alone. You know, there's a lot of people who go to church and they come and they may have even read through the Scriptures upteenth times, and yet their life evidences a lack of wisdom. So it's not about just simple knowledge of the truth. What is wisdom? It's an application of the truth. And I go further, it's the right application of truth. You know, you can know truth, but to know what truth to apply in what situation is what wisdom actually looks like. It's not just simple memorization and rote learning of the very words of God. That's a foundational concept of that. But you understand that wisdom has to be where you understand how to use truth in certain situations. And that's really what Solomon was driving at when he saw this situation. He said, wow, this man used wisdom to save a city. You know, in our day, there's a lot of those that have different types of wisdom. We have those that have wisdom in certain areas of life. They have wisdom in finances. They have ways in which they can make their dollar go longer. There's some who have certain wisdom in regard to an area of discipline or expertise in life, and we can glean from that. In fact, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 16, verse 8, and the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. Why? For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And sometimes there's examples of wisdom even in the world that we live in that we can glean from that's just truth. And you know, we observe that in Solomon, certainly as he lived life, he observed things. He says in Proverbs that wisdom cries out. You know, there's things to be learned. There's things to glean. And I hope that at the very, very basic, you would just be an observant person. That you would just observe life. That you're just not a passenger of life. That you're just observing as you see things happening in the world around you, as you hear the word of God preached, as you see some lives being lived out, both well and not well. That there's things that you're gleaning that is adding to your wisdom. Wisdom cries out. And this is certainly a situation where even the wisest of them all, Solomon, he learned something by just observing a situation. In fact, he said it's great wisdom. And I want to learn a couple of things tonight as we think about Solomon's observation of this, that is nuanced to how wisdom works. And I think there's some descriptors here that will do us well to observe tonight as we just, again, open the Word of God and glean from it. And I want you to see just some things where wisdom comes from. And I think tonight we're only going to have opportunity for one thing, to learn one thing. And if you know that, that also means there's three subpoints in my main point, all right? But look at this. Look at verse 15. So he observes it. Here's the situation. Verse 14, there was a little city and few men within it. And there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. There was great weapons against it. It was a real situation. We don't really comprehend what battles look like they did. You know, when you were a small city, you were a prime target for larger forces. And this great king comes, and besieging means they surround the city. They create bulwarks with just weapons of war. And this little city stood no chance from a human point of view. The odds were stacked against it. It was more likely that this little city was going to be overtaken by this great king. And yet what happened was this: there was found in verse 15 in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man. You know, the thing that was different about this city wasn't just the fact that it was a little city. There was someone in it that made a difference. And it wasn't like he had any other ability but this. He had wisdom. He had the right wisdom for the right situation. And it was enough that this wise man, the Bible calls him that, was able to, through his wisdom, give sort of some counsel, maybe some strategy. He gave the right wisdom to be able to save the city. He went against all the odds, and he was able to come through it, and he was able to then allow and cause the city to survive. And yet, here's the descriptor that the Bible gives us about this wise man. There was found in it a poor wise man. You know how sometimes we have this understanding about wisdom, like there's some sort of tells about it. Like you can tell a wise man by the results of his physical life. You know, you sort of go, well, if he was a wise man, then shouldn't he have been well off, or well accomplished, or well this, or well that, and yet the Bible says he was a poor wise man. When you look at that again in the original language, it literally means just what you think poor is: lacking earthly resources. And yet he was the one that made a difference. And here's the point I want to make. Here's where wisdom comes from. See, wisdom comes to those who know how to harness hardship. You know, when you're poor, hardship is your life. And it's particularly in that society that they lived in. You know, we think of poor as someone who can't afford the latest iPhone. That's how sometimes we think poor is, but in that time, poor meant you were poor. Poor meant that they were dirt poor. That's all they had, was just the means to survive. And he was saying here that this wise man, and by the way, can I remind you tonight that the Bible is very particular. God is very particular about his words. I was teaching our boys, we have a Tuesday 10-minute truth is what we call it, because they really just have 10 minutes at lunch. Not really because they just have 10 minutes at lunch. That's as long as attention span they have at lunch, all right? And so we have 10-minute truth, and I was telling them God's economy of preserving his words are the words. It's not the thoughts, it's not the ideas. He's preserving the words. And so he's purposeful with the words. Every word of God is pure. And so as we're reading this, think about that in your mind. He saw this and he said he found in it not just a wise man, a poor wise man. And here he came by his wisdom. How? Because he just knew how to harness his hardship. You know, we don't like hardship. You know, we do everything we can to get out of situations like that. And God might, through his wisdom upon your life, allow that in grace. But sometimes God also allows hardship to stay. And sometimes God allows you to be in a situation that you don't particularly like and you don't particularly enjoy. And yet it's the very thing and the very vehicle that's going to drive you to wisdom, that's going to drive you to understanding, that's going to drive you to just have a perspective of life that you can use some truth that will then be the difference maker in someone else's life. And that was a situation with this poor wise man, was that he was poor and he was able to harness something in the situations of his life, the hardship of his life, that then was he was able to then give counsel and advice and give wisdom to not only save himself, but to save his city. And wisdom comes to those who know how to harness hardship. Notice again the condition of the wise. He said, it's a poor wise man. You know, in verse 11, we note there, notice chapter 9, verse 11, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. You know, this life is not a formula. This life is just a happening. And sometimes there's things that we don't understand, and sometimes there's things that don't always add up. But within that, God is trying to teach us, and God's trying to form us, and God's trying to show us some things. And there ought to be that in us, just this understanding of the condition of the wise, is that just something that you're supposed to harness and understand within the context of the situation that you find yourself in. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and notice a couple of verses here. Look at verse 2. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. Now, if it was our choice, we'd go to the house of feasting all the day long. But he's saying it's better to go to the house of mourning, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Skip down to verse 4. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. And you know, you look around and there's a great deal of foolishness in reveling. You look around and there's those who spend up all of their living in the party life and all of that. Why? For a thrill, for a momentary joy or happiness or thrill or excitement. And he's saying that no, those are in the house of the fool. But he's saying the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. You know what that is? It's in the house of hardship. It's in the house where we're going through some things that are difficult to be understood and difficult to really get a grip on. And you know, none of us like that. And I understand, you know, and you know, living this life, there's been times, no doubt, just like you, where there's just been some difficulty you wish you just would go away. We don't like those. In fact, we just want to pray that God will take it away, But here's what we don't pray enough. Lord, help me to learn in this moment. Help me to learn the wisdom I need to learn. Because the condition of the wise is that he's poor. He goes through some difficulty. He goes through some hardship. And the whole process of that so often is just this, to bring us to humility. See, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. You know, so many times I know in my own life, the hardships have been to just bring me lower than I was before. You know what hardships teach me? I know less than I know. There's things I don't understand. And there's things I need to seek the Lord about. And there's times where it's frustrating and it's hurtful and I just want to get it out of the way. And yet, it's been those times where I know I've learned the most valuable truths. And you know, there's times where we wish we would never have to undertake, but the condition of the wise is this. They harness hardship. They're able to harness that. And yet, what we see, secondly, go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, is not only the condition of the wise, but we see, notice here, and he, by his wisdom, verse 15, delivered the city. The contribution of the wise. And here's the thing, you know, the by his wisdom, he delivered the city. You know why? Because he was facing a hardship. See, hardship helps you when hardship comes. You know, the reason he could help in a hardship was because he's been through a hardship himself. Now they were facing the ultimate hardship. An enemy force was coming to take the city. And you know what? There were some of those men who maybe they just lived soft lives. Maybe they just lived lives and they just never went through anything and they were a little sheltered, a little not understanding of what life's really about. And perhaps as they saw that enemy force, they shrunk away and they weren't there for the battle and they weren't ready for the fight. And yet there's this poor wise man who had learned some things through the hardships he'd previously gone through and he was currently going through. And it was him. It wasn't the people of means. It wasn't the people who had it all together. It was the poor wise man. He'd made the difference. It was his wisdom that delivered the city. And so what happened was this, the contribution of the wise is the lessons that you learn from hardship. That's your contribution. It's the lessons you learn through the reproofs of life. It's the lessons that you learn through the difficulties and the hardships and the slugging it out. You know, Pastor Fisher used to talk to me a lot about that. And he used to tell me things like, oh, preacher, you've not gone through anything yet. And I'm like, Pastor, I don't want to hear that. You know, and he's like, no, you haven't gone through anything yet. And he used to have a saying, he was part of, you know, Pastor Fisher. He was in the Marines and, you know, he was in special ops and all of that. And he used to have a saying, he said, it's this, embrace the suck. Just embrace that it sucks right now. Just embrace it. And he said, you know, you learn something out of that, and that's the contribution of the wise. It's what God was able to squeeze out of you during those difficult times. And hardship helps you when hardship comes. In Proverbs 15, verse 7, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. And what that is, you have something to disperse when you've gone through some things. And you know, sometimes we just, when we're going through the hardship, we've not got our eyes open and our ears open to the voice of God and the teachings of God in our lives. You know, we just want to get through it and get done. When perhaps in that moment, God's trying to teach you what you need to know and what you need to disperse. And that's a contribution of the wise. But here's the conundrum of the wise. Notice what happened here. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. You know true wisdom isn't for gain, it's for giving. You see, it wasn't about the gain of this man's notoriety. Notice with me, his name wasn't even mentioned. You know, you ever quoted something? Maybe you found a great quote, great statements of the faith, and you've, you know, I said something once that actually it wasn't my quote, but suddenly I was quoted as saying it. And I remember, you know, sadly in our social media days, you can get the quote and get the credit for the quote when it's not your quote, right? And now you've got to trace it back. You know, there's people that you want to make sure you're not plagiarizing, right? And so you want to give the right credit to the right person. But there's been times where, you know, I've spoken to someone and they said, "Oh, I heard that what you said," and I said, "You know, that's nice that you remember me, but actually it was another person that said it." And here's my point, is sometimes we hear truth and we only ever remember it from what we know currently. But you know, truth is often old and truth is often repeated. But here's what we know, we don't always know who said it. We don't always know who actually said that first. Now, we know if it's scripture because it's recorded for us, but we don't know. We can attribute things to people that learnt it the hard way and we own it because we've learnt the lesson from them. But here's the conundrum of the wise is that, you know, it's not actually for your gain. You're actually meant to give it. You know, the things that we learn, it's actually not for our fame or notoriety. And maybe sometimes God doesn't give us the wisdom that we need because inside of us, there's a bit of a selfish, like, what do I gain out of it? And I want to tell you, I've lived long enough to know how selfish I am and how selfish this flesh is, that even in the moments when actually God's forming something in me, there's a danger of making it about myself. And that's why even John the Baptist, the greatest born among women, he said it himself, he must increase and I must decrease. You know, one of the greatest prayers that we can pray is this: less of me, Lord, and more of you. And if it be that you give me something that someone can learn and someone can glean from, would it be that I'm forgotten and that truth is remembered instead? You know, so much of what we do is about us. It's about what we want. It's about us getting some sort of fame or notoriety. And yet this poor wise man was just simply known by his descriptor. He was just a poor wise man. I'll tell you, he made all the difference though. And here's the question I want to ask. Does it matter if they know your name, if you've saved the city? Does it matter if they know your name and you've given the right counsel? You know, I often think about the situation my dad found himself in all those years ago. It was right here in Brisbane. He was here for training. He had come over from the Philippines and he was part of the US Navy at that time. He was a local apprentice. He had come along here and a mysterious man sat with him and just gave him a little tip. Hey, you better move your kids to Australia. You know, that base you work in, that's closing. And to this day, you ask my dad, he never knew the man's name. He never knew. Never remembered it. If he did introduce himself, he probably didn't. But you know, that piece of advice made all the difference in my parents' life because guess what? We did move here. And we did come along. And this became our home. And this became the place where we became grounded in the faith and grounded in the things. And we've loved Australia ever since. But listen, we don't know the name. And you know, sometimes there's things that we want to do for God and we want to be for God, but with the addendum that we will be remembered also. That we will be known and we will get the credit. And you know, we ought to do our best to give credit where credit is due. But I'm saying ultimately, shouldn't the credit go to the Lord anyway? Right, church? Ultimately, it's about Him giving the wisdom. Ultimately, it's about Him giving us what we need for the day, giving us what we need for the moment, giving us the truth, right? The Spirit of God that guides us unto all truth. it's really ultimately about him, and let it be that we're forgotten and God gets all the glory. Hey, I know it's Wednesday, but we can still get excited. See, true wisdom isn't for gain, it's for giving. And all that hard-earned wisdom isn't to bring profit for yourself. It's actually God's whole working is to help others. Hey, listen, mom and dad, you pray for wisdom, it's not for you. It's for those children that follow you. Hey, listen, ministry leader, you pray for wisdom. Hey, it's not for you, it's for those you're ministering to. And the conundrum of the wise is this, that he didn't get remembered. You know, all that, he made all the difference, he saved the city, and no one knew his name. You know, some of us don't want to pay that price. We need something out of us. We need something out of it. And maybe that's why God doesn't let us come by wisdom. Because really what God wants is he wants to use those who can harness their hardship. Those that will go through the hardship and still have faith in God. Still be able to ask him for the answers that they need. Still be able to look to God and say, God, I need you. And I don't know how to figure this out, but I need wisdom. Would you give it to me? And then you give it, and it's used, and it makes the difference. And at the end, you're forgotten. I think God wants to use those. And we would come by wisdom, I think, if we just had the same spirit and attitude as the poor wise man. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity this evening to open your word. And Father, we recognize, dear God, that all of us here, we lack wisdom. Lord, the reality is there's daily wisdom that we need. And Lord, as moments come, as situations come about, Lord, it just evidences that we need you, Lord, the sum of all wisdom, more and more. And so help us as we head into the rest of the week, Lord, to just be poor in our spirit, to say, Lord, we're needy, to say, Lord, that we're going through a circumstance that, Lord, is beyond us, and Lord, help me to learn what I need to learn. And then, Lord, help me to pass on that hard-earned wisdom at times. And I pray that, Lord, all the glory would belong to you. And Lord, I pray that you'd help your people tonight as we have some time of prayer, Lord, to really seek you this evening. And Lord, would you comfort and help as you see fit. We love you, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name.